Hello! Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host, the most, Dan Black, a.k.a. Donnie Capri from the time I went to Italy, a.k.a. the modern day spoof, Raja, coming at you from New York City, baby, 34th Street, 42nd Street, 11th Street, you know, all the numbers, streets, here I am, baby, gabba wee, the girl, she's mine, and damn, she's fine. What is up, baby? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all that hot wrestling action. Okay, give me the... What up, man? Everyone, man, we're back in it. I'm still in New York City. Surprise, surprise. Oh, man. And I'm excited to be here. New York is hard. It is fun, but I got an awesome guest sitting in front of me. I've been meaning to get this guy on the show for a long time, so that's the benefit of staying in New York. But before I introduce my guest, I want to make a few announcements, which is, one, if you want to support the show, if you're loving the show, remember, this is grassroots, baby, so throw us a couple bucks on patreon.com/comediansofwrestling, and for your efforts, we will give you bonus episodes that you can only get there. No, not as many freebies going to be on the main feed now, right? You saw, we gave you a taste, and now it's time to pay the piper. right now, we got an episode, bonus episode with Thomas Middleditch. You know him, Donnie Verizon, up there, the Silicon Valley Smasher. Bonus episode there. We got the Cal LaCroix Cocktail Contest up there. And coming out this Monday, we have an episode with that I recorded last week here in New York with Casey Jost, head writer of Impractical Jokers. He tells us awesome stories about going to WrestleMania with the Impractical Jokers, who are big wrestling marks, and how all the wrestlers marked out so hard for the Impractical Jokers, including Elias, who's a big fan, and let's just say a piece of his merch comes from those guys. So that's an awesome episode that you'll be able to check out. When I get back to LA, we're going to be recording a Ready to Rumble bonus review episode. So anyway, awesome stuff going on the Patreon, and it helps support the show. Great. Now let's also, you can cash in, get your opinion on the show. Leave us a voicemail at 316-530-2429-316. 530-2429. Gobble wee, blow my mind. Here we go. Okay, sitting in front of me, we have an awesome guest. Former WWE writer, hilarious comedian, great dude, Mr. Matt Weir.
Hey.
What is up?
Nothing much, just sitting in all of your energy.
Yeah, man.
To open the show.
I can really turn it on. So, last time I saw you, WrestleMania 33?
Yes, yeah. Do you want to set that up? Or?
I do. First, let me introduce our Sophie, the masturbating engineer. she is.
That's me, baby. Hello.
Sophie's in a separate room.
And I just masturbate the whole time.
Last week, we showed her a picture of Finn Balor's abs, and she's just been going to town since for a full week.
Those are some beautiful abs. What a beautiful man.
Seen him in person.
I have. Oh, he actually, I shouldn't say this, he lives down the street from me.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
He lives in New York?
He lives in Greenpoint.
Yeah. He lives in Greenpoint?
I just gave that away. That's
oh,
really
my God.
Terrible.
Is that bad?
What's his address?
You'll see him walking around.
Really?
Yes.
Is that because he's Irish? He had to live in somewhere that has green?
I think
he's going to live in the States. He's like, got to live in Greenpoint.
Oh, this is like home
my
now.
My terrible Irish accent.
I have a bad one, too. I'm like Irish, but I can't do an Irish accent.
That's cool. He does feel like a New Yorker, though.
Yeah.
He does feel like a guy who would land in New York.
He's like a young, hip dude.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's a nice guy. I mean, all those guys are super nice for the most part, except one giant man, Big Show. I don't like him. But anyway.
Oh, you don't like Big Show?
No, I mean, he's
so Matt
fine.
Was a WWE writer until very recently. I met you at 33. I didn't meet you. I met you before that. But last time I saw you was at WrestleMania 33. You came to my seats.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Plebeians came to our seats in the stands. In a suit.
Yes.
You were in a suit.
So the whole thing was I was in charge of the kickoff shows, the WWE pay-per-view
right.
kickoff shows, and we were shooting right behind where Dan and Jason and I forget who else was sitting with you. But,
Buddy Arlen. The audience knows who he is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The audience knows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I saw these
Real
guys.
Real jabroni.
Yeah. I went down to sit with them. It was before the Fatal 4-Way tag match, with the Hardys returning.
Their big return.
Yeah, and I knew they were going to return, so I wanted to feel the like how the audience felt and sit next to these guys because I want to see if everybody went nuts. And
right.
I was right. I could feel the place shaking.
So you knew that. You were standing next to me knowing it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Weird thing is that I was not really surprised by that because, the night before we went to ROH to go.
We skipped
NXT that year. We went to ROH to see Bucks Hardys.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we were like, that's a better match than, what was the match? Shinsuke Rude?
Yeah.
You know, I will continue to do that every year. I will gauge if the Supercard of Honor, which I believe what they call it now every year, I'll gauge if that is better. This year was really tight.
Yeah. I didn't see that. I don't follow Ring of Honor as
I meant
closely.
Tight in terms, sorry, because now I'm from LA, so I got to qualify.
Go for it.
Tight, like tight. Man, this year was super tight. People do say that, not ironically, where I live.
We don't accept that shit here
in
New York, man.
Really funny people, too. Like, really cool, funny people will just be like, yeah, it's tight.
Tight.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I say dope a lot. Like, I'm like, yeah, it's dope.
I do say
and
dope.
And I'm trying, like, I feel like that 14-year-old me was cool to say that. 34-year-old me, not as much. But I'm still going to say it.
I say dope and whack. Full whack, on. I mean, that's whack.
I don't say whack.
Dope.
Dope.
I still say wankster. Anyone else saying that? And I'm still listening to that 50 Cent album, man.
Oh, that's who it was? Yeah, I couldn't remember who
I got
was.
On loop. I play it every time it's my birthday. I play wankster. No, okay. No, but, man, every time I tell a joke, it completely derails my points. what were we talking about? Oh, tight. Yeah, I meant, like, it was tight in terms of, like, which one was as good this
year.
And we chose NXT this year. I think that North American match put it over the top.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was awesome.
That was an amazing match.
Yeah.
I
always want to go to NXT because it's going to be closer to where I am. The Supercard of Honor is always like 45-minute Uber out of the city.
Yeah.
So anyway.
It's always some like small arena or like little convention center somewhere far away. And that's something like.
It sucks. It takes me out of it. I know people like love the indie feel or whatever.
Yeah.
But like last time we went to Supercard of Honor, we're going to see Bucks Hardys. You walk in and then there's like a K-pop convention like next door and there's like a bar mitzvah happening in the same building and like where are you going I'm going to watch the dance fight you know what I mean and then you're like whereas like when you walk into an arena and then they're selling merch it's like a whole thing and I'm not shitting on that I think All In will probably nip that in the bud
All In's going to be that it's interesting being part of that company and knowing how big it is and to see how well indie wrestling's doing now like especially All In where I'm like oh that's cool like these guys are able to like kind of do this DIY thing and you know who Vince probably doesn't even know what it is because he doesn't pay attention to anything outside of his own world so
he do you think he actually do you think I mean you're a guy firsthand worked with Vince McMahon okay you think he knows what All In is?
He's definitely – somebody's told him about it. I could see Triple H in his ear because Triple H is definitely a guy I think
Triple H 100% knows.
Yeah,
Triple H congratulated them, I think.
I'm sure he did.
Did I make that up on social media?
I don't know. I feel like
– or maybe he said it in passing. Someone asked him about it.
I could see him like congratulating them on social media, but then like when the doors are shut, he's like, yeah, fuck those guys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Fuck them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cody, fuck him.
And he's also probably frustrated because I think a lot of the stuff those guys – a lot of stuff that those guys do is stuff he wants to implement that like Vince is in his way about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's like in my time there, that was like the great struggle and something that I think is interesting about the company is like Vince wants entertainment, Triple H wants sports.
Right.
And that's like why like I see people complain about like, oh, this guy came up from NXT and they're using him like shit. And it's like, yeah, because Vince sees it totally differently than Triple H.
Right.
He wants it to be athletic. He wants them to be real ass kickers because then that makes him a real ass kicker. It doesn't make him an actor. Or, you know, oh, did I just mess up and say something I shouldn't say? No, they're performers.
Right.
They're all performers. So I think I respect Vince because I like the entertainment part of it. That was my job to write entertaining promos and backstages, whatever, or characters. And Hunter wasn't necessarily against that. But his thing was, like, it was more straightforward. It's more what I think you're seeing in the indie world now.
He likes, like, a wrestling show.
Yes.
Like an NXT show.
Yes.
I prefer, I'm probably more of Vince in the mentality there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm probably more that way. But I think it's the true answer is, like, everything ever, politics, everything, it's all in the middle.
Yeah.
Like, there, if two things are great, probably the middle is where the sweet spot is.
And that's, I
want a great, I want to watch matches, like, like Omega Okada every time, but I also want the story of like a Strowman or like, you know, that's not the best story, but like this Shinsuke AJ feud, I really like the story going on
there. How do you like that so far? Because
I really like it. I'm just upset that like the Mania moment wasn't what I wanted because I paid to go to WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's cool. They got, you know, right now people complain you lose. It's lose-lose. Like, people complain this time of year is normally a lull, the post-WrestleMania. Yeah. So what they did was like, all right, we're going to set this feud up in Mania.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, I think that element of that
is an interesting place to start it, because it feels like that's where, especially to me, AJ and Nakamura are like two of the best right now, have been for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I remember when Nakamura got brought to SmackDown, I was writing on SmackDown, and I was like, oh, like, it's our job to make this guy as special as he should be, even more so.
Right.
And I think we tried, but there's certain things that happened that weren't any fault of the writers. Yeah, guys, I'm getting your back. It wasn't. He could have been set up, I think, better.
Right.
But things got in the way.
Right. So you were writing there from when to when, like
August 2016 to February 2018. So a little shy of 2 years.
Right, right, right. That's a long time. To put that in perspective, that's a long time to last at WWE.
Yeah.
Because everyone, all right, like it's similar to put this in perspective, people. I'm not like protecting Matt's ego.
Oh, thank you.
I'm saying the amount of amazing, talented people I know who go through WWE, like they have a culture of like, it's like a scare tactic, like you always feel like you're going to be fired.
Yes.
And they have a high turnover rate, and that's also keeps the top people at the top. SNL has a very similar style.
So that's what I hear.
Right?
Yeah, and even like my buddies that are still there are always like still worried that tomorrow could be their last day.
Yeah, I was talking to a guy recently who was currently writing there, and it's that same attitude I know I'm going to get when I talk to someone from WWE.
Yeah.
They're like, the job's cool, probably will end tomorrow, and there won't be a real rhyme or reason for it, except for like that's just the culture.
Yeah,
so
Vince didn't like my hair that day or
whatever.
Like, there's literally things like that,
right?
Like, where it has nothing to do with your performance or any of that. It's just he didn't like you that day,
right? And also, they probably do it in a way. My guess is also to protect protect themselves, so it looks like we let these people go, because it seems like a job people want to quit pretty also.
Oh, I mean, to
especially
be honest,
someone who wants to work in entertainment, because a lot of times people feel like the what you do there doesn't actually align with your ultimate goals.
And that's totally where I was at.
Right.
And like I fell into it. Like, I loved wrestling growing up. I had a long spurt in like the mid-2000s where I just didn't watch any of it all, because I was like, what the hell is this? This is a bunch of jack dudes. Not like it wasn't in the past, but
talking about Ruthless Aggression.
Yeah, the Ruthless Aggression
era. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I remember when I interviewed there, I told them, I was like, I never watched any of that stuff. And they're like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, this thing's been going on forever. Jump in where we're at now. And I don't know. Do you want me to explain how I got into wrestling writing?
Yeah.
All right. So,
sure.
I worked on
is the time of year where we got time to cover it.
I'll slow down.
I mean, before we shit on Ronda Rousey, let's,
I worked on an MTV prank show. It was an international prank show where I just sat in a room and wrote pranks, and they were terrible. And a guy that I was writing with was a huge wrestling fan, so we talked about that a lot. He ended up writing on the Edge and Christian sketch show. I can't remember the whole
sketch show of
total
awesome.
Awesomeness.
Yeah.
The smells. I don't know. There's like
I love
reeks.
Edge as a wrestler. I really love him as an. I find those two guys to be two of the least funny people.
No, I agree. 100%. Well, that was the thing. Like, so he was writing on that. We talked. He knew me from that. And then it came around where they needed more sketches. And he's like, hey, I can't do it. Can you write a bunch of sketches? And I was like, sure. So I talked to a guy at WWE. It was all like literally a quick phone call. Hey, yeah, here we have a couple guys, Gilbert and Jimmy Hart. Can you just write something around them? Sure, I'll do that. I had like a day to write as many sketches as I could.
Right.
I wrote like 7 or 8. I don't know how many. Sent them in, and I was like, okay, let me know. I'll punch them up. Let me know what you need. Nothing. No words. Oh, these are great. I got a paycheck. And then months later, I saw it, and I was like, oh, that's my idea, but none of my words and very bastardized version of my idea. And then you know, getting to the WWE, I've been writing for them for so long, I learned, like, oh, that's what happens. Like, every idea you have just gets bastardized to become what it becomes in the end.
Right.
Which is fine. I mean, that's a corporate company.
Right.
They want Vince has control of everything, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't want to get too into this. I've talked about this, but I submitted some writing samples.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still waiting. I'm like, I know they're going to use it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know I wrote this thing. It's so funny.
Yeah.
I'm proud of myself of it. If you don't think my stuff's funny, check out today. I posted a clip of my wrestling stand-up.
Oh, yeah,
you can check
good.
It out on my Instagram, at Dan Black Attack. And I should have plugged this at the top. And you can check us out on the Comedian Wrestling Facebook page. Talk about wrestling at 4 in the morning. And post that there. So if you think that's funny, then you agree that what I'm doing is funny. But, yeah, no. And I'm like, I gave it to them. And then they never actually created this job. We had talked about it or whatever. But I'm like, but I know they read that script.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's such a good idea for the network.
Yeah.
And I won't even say it here.
Dude, that's the thing. Like, they would, there was a couple times.
They're like, we'll just write this without this guy.
Yeah.
How they operate there. I don't know if they see the value.
Well, that was the thing. I remember there was a point where Vince wanted, like, a bunch of pitches from the writing staff for what could be on the network.
Right.
And I can't remember what I wrote. There was, like, three ideas that I was like, oh, these are pretty good TV show ideas. The thing was, no matter what happened, none of us were going to get credit for it. They would just take it and make it on their own. And that's kind of how the writing staff is treated there, where it's like, okay, yeah, you guys are doing all the grunt work, but you're not going to – obviously, there's no credits. Like, when Raw ends every Monday, they don't show
credits.
There's
no credit, right. It's not like TV. There's like SAG, and everything there is non-union or whatever.
Yeah.
So, right, so it's all – you're not in the guild or anything. So
you're just grinding.
You don't have to get credit for stuff like that. And also, you're getting paid – okay,
yeah,
like pretty
it was
well.
Good.
So,
I mean,
so it's okay. So it's not the biggest complaint, but
no.
It is. I'm saying that it's more like they're not like they don't run like a normal television show where I'm like, I think they could steal something from me that I pitched and not even know, and no one would get credit anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because I think my second, the second writing sample I sent in was basically the AJ and the club beating up John Cena. Like, we're going to beat up John Cena. That was essentially what I pitched.
Oh, you pitched the beat up John Cena?
That was my sample.
Oh, I love that.
And, like, I didn't use the phrase, like, we're going to beat up John Cena, but the whole thing was AJ and the club taking out, you know, the old guy, getting rid of John Cena. And then it led to, in my pitch, it was Randy Orton joining Cena and then Triple H joining Cena. And, like, I remember when I went for the interview, they were like, hey, this is pretty big. Like, this is a big move to have these guys come back. And you know, at the time, I was like, oh, yeah, I just thought it would be fun.
Right.
I'm a fan. I want to see something
fun.
And that's – I learned how to channel – I tried to channel the inner fandom into the show, but you learn that's kind of – it's hard there. It's really hard.
Yeah. What? Right. And what's the – right, and it's all at the whim of Vince's mood. That's what it always – that's what we always hear, you know. And he's so hands-on, and he's never going to stop until he drops dead, right?
No. He's never going to quit. Like, he traveled all the time. And I still remember one of my favorite moments was we did Royal
He's always
Rumble.
In a suit, right? Is he in a suit on the planes?
I don't know. Possibly.
Yeah.
There's
one
time.
Have you ever seen Vince in a pair of jeans?
No. I don't think he owns jeans. I think those are like he just got.
He had one pair of jeans just for his St. Valentine's Day Massacre match.
Yeah.
I think he wore jeans versus Stone Cold.
Yeah, he wore like black jeans.
Yeah.
That's it. I've seen him in his workout gear. And that was like the one thing I was going to bring up was it was after the Royal Rumble in San Antonio. We had like a 4-hour drive to Laredo, Texas. We're on the border. And I remember it was like 3 in the morning. I'm walking. I checked into the hotel.
Wait, where are you? Who's near you? This matters to me.
I'm
a visual person.
So okay.
You're sitting on a bus?
And the bus, the writers are all on one bus.
Yeah, this is how Mark,
yeah, so we're like.
And Vince is in their bus?
No. He either has his car service, I'm guessing, like a limo. He had Air McMahon, Air McMahon. As
really?
Private
I was thinking he has a chopper that just flies over the bus and just takes shits on you from
like constantly unloading crap right into our mouths. Yeah. Which is the usual there. But I'm pretty sure for that, he probably had a bus. Most of the talent would ride buses. And there was a few times I remember getting to hotels and there's fans at like 4 or 5 in the morning waiting outside those hotels. Because they know that's where we're going to stay.
Right.
And that has to, like, to me as a writer, it's like, oh, this is crazy. But to the workers, like, they're doing that 340 days a year.
Yeah.
And it's like, I understand why a lot of them were just like, I'm going to ignore fans. Get the fuck away from me.
Right.
Like, I remember, I wrote a lot for Neville, and I remember a fan came backstage.
The man who forgot about gravity?
Yes, the
that's
man who
we were
forgot
calling
about
gravity.
He would love that, I'm sure.
That's why he quit, because he was like, why am I falling down? This is bullshit. I should be going up.
Just higher and higher, but they're keeping me here.
Rehashed bit.
I remember him, we were working on a promo backstage, and a young kid came back and was like, hey, Neville, can you sign this? And he was like, get away from me, like growling him.
Yeah.
And then the kid ran, like, kind of walked away upset. And then Neville turned to me. He's like, oh, sorry I had to do that. Like, I have to keep up that I'm a heel. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I get it. Like, that's what you got to do. He's, like, keeping
what?
That. Yeah. And he,
you don't have to do that.
Yeah, you
that's
don't.
An excuse. But he's like, hey, Matt, just so you don't think I'm the piece of shit that I actually am, I just want to let you know.
No, I loved him, man. He was great.
I mean, he's one of the best.
Yeah, yeah. He's great.
I'm quoted on this podcast saying I thought Neville had... was like a championship caliber wrestler.
Yeah, and I understand his frustrations, and I know like he wanted to work the way he wanted to work, and that's the problem. Like, there was a lot of guys that would come in, they want to do what they're good at, but Vince sees them as one thing, and then they're stuck in that.
Right.
And that's, you know,
what,
like,
did he want to do? He wanted to not be a cruiserweight, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, him and Aries were the like,
right.
Aries was like, I should be up in the, you know, battling the heavyweights. That's what I did. And he's a, you know, him and Neville are both small guys. Like, I'm a tall dude.
Yeah.
I'm 6'2". Excuse me.
You tower those guys.
Yeah, I tower.
Those guys are at my height.
Yeah, so it was, like, weird because it was like, yeah, you guys are really great athletes and you should be doing this, but it's just Vince isn't convinced by it. That's why it makes sense to me that Braun is what he is. He's this giant wrecking machine. And in Vince has this childlike imagination and respect and excitement for the product he's putting out. Like, you can see that on his face, and that's what I'll respect him for. He put together this world, this weird wrestling world, and he's still excited by it every night, and that's insane because he's been doing it for 40 years and he doesn't do anything else.
Yeah, I mean, that's you know, that's something I always admire. You know, we parallel comedy here. Like, you know, when I see, like, Jerry Seinfeld,
yeah,
I always say how one thing that blows me, I was talking about this yesterday, it blows my mind how he made the show, biggest sitcom of all time, arguably. I don't really know what the stats are, but in my head it is.
Sounds, right? It seems like it is,
And then he was like, I'm done. Like, he's done a couple projects here and there, and then he's like, I just do stand-up. I am a stand-up.
Yeah.
And, like, now I have the money, and now I'm a stand-up. And he does it constantly.
Yeah.
Doing hours constantly.
Yeah.
And he'll do it till he dies.
That's where his heart is. And that's the same with Vince. Vince has these action figures that he puts out on in a ring every week, and, you know, they make him excited. And you can watch him during the show. I mean, Gorilla. Yeah, in Gorilla, like, you're, as a writer, you're calling a promo or whatever that's going to happen after a match. You're watching him out of the corner of your eye get excited or pissed off. You know, it depends what mood he's in, but also what's happening out in the ring.
So, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's why I love that, because it's like, you know, this is corny, but, like, life is very hard. You know what I mean? And life can be exhausting and annoying and stupid and full of bullshit.
Yeah.
But if you know, like me, I'm like, I know the thing I love doing.
Yeah.
You know, so good. I'll keep doing that.
Yeah,
forever.
And maybe
so at least Vince that keeps Vince going.
Yeah,
I'm sure he has days where he's like, fuck me,
damn it.
My wife is, she's in the Trump cabinet right now. It's a bad look.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I don't know how he loves
Trump.
Yeah, he does.
So. He loves Trump.
What I wanted to bring
the
up
XFL.
I could bring that up. That was hilarious watching the XFL announcement in the writer's room when Vince had a line about, it was like, nobody wants to watch a 3-hour NFL game. Who would do that? And we're all like, we do a 3-hour show every Monday, not counting the other hours of content we have. And we, you know, it's, I hated it that Raw is 3 hours.
Right.
It's too fucking long. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's like, it's about, to him, it's the money. Like, they're getting...
It's just an extra hour of money.
It's an extra hour of
advertising.
Advertising, exactly. Yeah. So that's why it's that.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to ask you one last question, then let's go into this stuff, and obviously pepper in stories and stuff, whatever, we can get derailed, but let's try to cover this week in wrestling.
Yeah, please.
But tell me, what's the thing you did at WWE that you're the most proud of?
Okay.
Like, what piece of writing?
The main thing,
and
I still hold this close to my heart, is I worked with Drew Gulak a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And so when I got there, 205.
We got a lot of Hoagie Gulak marks here.
And so I'm from Central Pennsylvania, Harrisburg, PA.
Oh, nice.
I lived in Philadelphia. My brother went to college with Drew.
Oh, you worked at the Hoagie Shop.
Yes, the Hoagie Shop. That's the only place you can
get
work.
That's the only gig in Philly.
I had to move because I just
absolutely
couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah. It's melting the cheese.
Yeah. My dad's still there breaking his back. The Hoagie is like, this is a family business.
He's got a gluten allergy. Yeah. No one cares. Yeah. That doesn't even exist.
His eyes are constantly welded shut from gluten allergies. But when I started 205 Live started, and I got put on that pretty quickly because I wrote a lot for TJP and Brian Kendrick, and those were like the first two guys.
Right.
So I developed a lot of the 205 Live characters. So I worked with Jack Aller a lot. Mustafa Ali, who finally just kind of got his like weird costume that he's been designing with Marvel for like a year out. But the main thing is Drew Gulak, because at first it didn't seem like Vince liked him at all. He was just like, oh, look at this guy. He's just a jobber. And I was like, no, he's good. He can talk. He can work. And we, while we weren't doing the live show or while I didn't have anything, Drew and I would work backstage shooting promos, writing new stuff. And a lot of that character is based off of something he did in the indies. But we ended up, I remember there was a bunch of nights after the shows where we'd be in the hotel and we'd be shooting promos for him on my phone. And I'd send him the lead writer and he'd be like, I don't think Vince is going to get this. And it took... That took so long to get Vince to get into it, and when we finally did like the first like protest or whatever he did, Vince started to really like it, and then he just put him on, and now I'd arguably say Drew's probably he's in the UK tournament now. I know, and I feel like he's doing that because he's the he's entertainment going to be he's going to be in that
into the super smarky work matches.
Yeah. So I mean, you
that's
know,
cool because that's really satisfying because you're taking a guy who. Like, had nothing going on, really, and a guy who's not a Vince classic type, and getting him over and then from, like, the bottom. And then probably my guess is that as a WWE writer, like, that was a you have to find – it seems like my through line when I talk to people who work there is that you find – you're not going to be able to do, like, get a lot in for John Cena or whatever, right?
He's going to do what he wants to do.
So you have to find things where they're, like, don't care enough where you can actually get your full idea through.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and
so
that's
it doesn't
like,
get butchered.
There's a lot of guys like that where like it's like, hey, just whatever you got for me, whatever you got for me. And excuse me. Indigestion.
Oh god.
So I just ruined the
too
podcast.
Much fucking LaCroix.
I know, too much.
Burp it up.
But yeah, like guys like Drew, you know, I got the right for New Day when I started out and they were fun, but it was like they had their thing already.
Right.
And like one of the last times I remember working with them, it was like we had a promo all set, but they want to do their pancake thing. And Vince didn't get the pancake thing, but he just let them do it because it's New Day. But then there's guys like the Drews or anybody lower on the card where like everything is like, you know, pushed back very hard because Vince doesn't understand it. Like Vince didn't get Fashion Police the whole time I was there. Every week. That's
one
like,
of my favorite things.
People are freaking out about it. It's getting written up in Entertainment Weekly or whatever it is. Vince still didn't get it.
Yeah.
And it's like, just trust us. And he did, but once it slipped, once something happened, then the hammer was going to fall and he was going to stop it. And I, to be honest, I haven't watched in a while, so I have no idea. I know they're on Raw now. I don't know if they're still
doing they're on Raw.
Are they still doing any?
They were at the B-Team celebration last week.
Okay. Right.
Yeah,
the B-Team.
Yeah, All right, let's get into this week in wrestling because we got so much to cover. We got so much to cover, but also, man, Raw was hard for me to get through this week. It was a bit of a slog. I think it's like we're waiting for this Money in the Bank to happen. We're not used. I think I'm mentally trained to wait. Like I'm mentally trained that pay-per-views are like right around the corner.
Yeah.
And the gap from, what was it, Backlash and Greatest Royal Rumble, which were right next to each other, till Money in the Bank has been, like, a normal gap of time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Sunday's being like, the pay-per-view's got to be this Sunday.
It's weird
and
without it's having two pay-per-views left, right? Yeah, because that was insane for us, because that means we had to work those Sundays. And
but it's definitely, it's tough, for you guys. Well, you get salaried, right? You know, or, like, you don't get paid.
That's
like,
the thing, every day you're working, so.
Right. So, like, because I'm saying, now it's like Money in the Bank. It's like people are like, hey, I'm having people over. you know what I mean? Like, whereas these other pay-per-views were just popping up too often, where it's like none of them felt important.
Yeah, I mean.
So it's now I'm like getting invited to things. I'm like, yeah, this pay-per-view should have like, they should be kind of special.
Yeah.
You know?
They should. We shouldn't have so many that we have to name them Great Balls of Fire. Like,
nice. Is that one gone?
I hope so. I remember when I
hope
heard
it comes
that.
Back.
I thought it was a joke. And I remember.
Everyone thought it was a
joke.
Dude,
the rumor was that Jerry Lee Lewis was going to come back and play Great Balls of Fire with Kid Rock. When I was there, like, that was a legit
thing.
Are
you kidding me?
None of us, I remember we didn't know if that was serious or not. And that's part of the problem.
Jerry Lewis died, right?
I don't know. That's the thing.
No,
I was like,
he's dead.
Vince,
yeah, he's
Vince
dead.
Can bring him back, you know?
A hologram and Kid Rock, Jerry Lewis hologram.
Yeah. I thought that was going to happen. And I was, that's what I loved about it because it's like, this is ridiculous.
That's awesome.
Let's do it.
All right, let's get into wrestling. Here we go. Did you see the Ricochet flip?
Wait, which
on, oh, yes, on NXT? Yes, yeah, did you see that? Yeah, that's the first thing I want to cover, even though it's in NXT. Yeah. And I covered it on my Instagram. One thing I'll say is that I shared this clip. I took the NXT. I did repost. I shared it. And then it got taken down. It was like, you shared WWE unauthorized. Wouldn't they want people to share their videos?
Dude, it's all about promotion. So I don't know.
Why would that get taken down? That is so stupid.
That's insane.
Yeah. And I was like, all right, fine. They gave me the option. I was like, delete it or fight it, or I don't know. There was two options. I just said hit delete, whatever. I was like, fuck you guys. You don't want me to vouch for it? That's okay. But anyways, this clip of the Dream, the Velveteen Dream, Ricochet's in the ring. If you haven't seen it, it's definitely on the Comedians Wrestling Facebook page for in the morning. it's on there. But essentially what happens is Dream calls out Ricochet, just says, like, anything you could do, I could do better. Right?
Yeah.
And Ricochet's in the ring, and he flips from the ring over the top ropes onto the metal ramp, lands on his feet with his head down, Captain America style, right? And then lifts his head up. It's such a controlled flip. Walks towards Dream, speaks into the microphone Dream's holding, and says, like, well, then I'm right here, you know? And Velveteen Dream plays it so well. He is stunned, shocked, appalled. It's like he shit his pants. And he's just standing there. He drops the microphone. His mouth is just like, his jaw is completely loose. And it's amazing. It's such a great moment because of, like, they don't even touch.
Yeah.
But they're face to face.
Yeah.
This is an amazing moment where I was like, the quote I wrote on my Instagram post that got deleted was, I was like, why do people watch CGI superheroes when you have, like, real superheroes?
Yeah, and that's it. Like, Ricochet doing that is like, this is a superhuman. That's what people pay to watch. That's why they like Braun Strowman. He's a giant Superman who can lift up anything and break anything.
Right.
Ricochet can fly. He can do a flip. And, like, what, I'm thinking the top rope to the floor is maybe
10 feet?
10 feet, 8 feet maybe. That's crazy.
It's remarkable. It's hard to, I can imagine some people watching it and be like, this isn't that high or something. Yeah. I don't know. But he lands on the metal grate.
Yes.
And you hear it.
That grate at down in Florida it's not giving. There's no giving that.
It's
I've been down there a lot.
Yeah, it's not meant for a flip on there.
No, none of it.
I mean, a lot of these guys do flip on there. You watch Kevin Owens, his first match, I think he does a flip to the outside onto, like, CJ Parker or whatever, the Juice Robinson. He flips over him, and he lands, like, on the grate or whatever, but he's still getting caught.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, this landed right on his feet almost pretty perfectly. Like, he landed that.
Yeah, I mean,
gymnast shit.
Yeah, I mean, it was sloppy enough where I liked it. Like, I don't like when it's too perfect. Some lucha guys make it look too easy. And I want, like, that was, I think that's part of Daniel Bryan's success, is he was doing things that looked really hard and dangerous.
Yeah.
That, like, lucha guys could easily do.
Yeah.
But with him, he was landing weird.
If you give the audience something to be a little scared at, they're relieved when you land it. Because, oh, good, he didn't break his neck.
Right. So, anyway, that clip is just amazing. And Ricochet, I mean, what do you see for Ricochet's career? I mean, like, he's, you know, how could he be, like, not, how could he, trajectory-wise, I mean, we know how good he is. I used to watch him on the indies all the time. He's like, He defies gravity in, like, a way. I mean, we were just talking about that, but in a way that's, like, doesn't look right.
Yeah.
It looks impossible.
Yeah. I'm hoping he is superhuman. Like, I remember his first dark match at NXT. I also worked on NXT for, like, 8 months.
Yeah.
But his first match there, I remember the audience reacting to everything. And I was standing, Michael Cole was there. He sits backstage and he helps the announcers. And I remember hearing his reaction to Ricochet when he hit the double senton. Holy shit, what the fuck was that?
What is that called? That's like,
I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've, like, moved it all out of my brain.
It's like basically two full rotations.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. No human should try that.
Sophie, you got to check this out.
Yeah, you got to watch it, Sophie. It's pretty, even if you're not
type
into
in
wrestling.
Ricochet.
Senton.
Let's get your
That's amazing. Okay, Ricochet. What is
that? Type in Ricochet. Because you're a non-wrestling fan, right?
yeah.
You're a full-on improv nerd, right?
I'm a full improv nerd.
Yeah. So,
So Ricochet, WWE, learning
NXT, watch I don't know. How do we,
like,
find
call
it?
Called Double Senton, S-E-N-T-O-N.
That, or should you watch the flip? Both.
Oh, the flip.
I mean,
do both.
Just type it. Yeah, yeah. Ricochet, go to the NXT, You can go to the NXT Instagram, and then I think it's one of the latest posts. Yeah.
Up there,
yeah. Anyway, just look around for Ricochet flips in NXT or whatever.
Well, you were asking about his trajectory, and I do think he will be a huge star. I think
you think he's like IC guy? You think he could be heavyweight champion on SmackDown? Hmm. Can he be a new? Because he is Rey Mysterio sized. I mean, not that small.
He's a little
but
bigger than
he
him.
Will look that small in the ring next
and
to guy.
That's
he'll
always
look tiny next to like Miz.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And that's the thing. I think AJ is not a big guy.
No,
but he's
wide though. He's like
wide.
Thick.
You're right.
Ricochet is like more miniature.
He's super cut, super ripped. Ripochet, start calling.
Ripochet.
There we go. But I could see him having like classic battles with Finn. But I know even with Finn, like Vince wasn't really sold on him because he's a small guy. So hopefully Ricochet's story isn't like he's a little guy battling the big guys. Hopefully he's more than that. Hopefully by the time he gets called up, things will be a little different.
Right.
But
all right.
I don't know.
Let's move on. So let's get into, we're going to get into a cash in. I think this is about Ronda Rousey, and I think we're going to talk about Ronda Rousey for a while right now. Sophie, you let us know when you've seen some Ricochet and what you think. And check out those abs. Feel free to do what.
Oh, I just saw it. Whoa.
What did you see?
Yeah.
Wait, this big flip when he like flips off the ring.
To the ramp? Does he land on the metal part and then walk up to a dude dressed like Prince?
Yes.
Oh, dude.
What did you think of that?
Damn.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That so honestly saying, kicked it up a notch.
Is that?
I also was watching like the rest of the match. I was like, okay, normal wrestling. And then seeing that, I'm like, oh, okay, that sticks out.
That's just
crazy.
He should be in Avengers 4 just as
Rich. Absolutely. It's kind of like, what? It's amazing that we're just like, let's watch Chris Evans do a CGI flip.
Yeah.
Right? And like, this stuff exists.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Let's do this cash in. Ready? All right. Sophie, I'm playing.
Hey,
this.
Fellas, it's John, aka Long John Silva, cashing in from Minnesota. Greetings from the great Arctic North. I want to talk about Ronda Rousey's commentary during the Nia versus Natalya match on Raw this week. I thought her commentary was just horrible, and I think people have talked about her poor mic skills before. I think you guys have even discussed it on this podcast. But this was a new low even for her. I thought she was worse than Booker T, because at least Booker T is kind of adorable with how bad he is on commentary, but Ronda Rousey doesn't even have that going for her. I had doubts about Ronda from the beginning, but I think at WrestleMania, she at least proved that she can wrestle. Her match at Mania was killer, so I think she proved that she belongs in the WWE, but they just need to not let her talk. So I think, my opinion is, they should make her the Brock Lesnar of the women's division and give her a Paul Heyman-like character to do all the talking for her, because I think she would be hella over if they did that. I think she's already over, but I think that would just take her even higher. So that's all I've got. Love the show. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks, John, right? John Silva? Yeah. Thanks, man, from the great Arctic North. Have you ever heard that expression?
I feel like in was it Strange Brew, the movie with the McKenzie brothers. Is that what the – I don't know.
No, I don't know.
Rick Moranis and
– You talking about Nothing to Lose?
No.
Chevy Chase?
No, just ignore me.
I think – thanks for listening. Gobbly. I think here's what I think. I think they know, like, the Heyman move is like – well, you might know inside, but the Heyman move is a possibility. Like, they got that. I think they're like, there's no reason to rush it. They're like, let's let this thing go. Let's see what Rousey can do on her own. Because ideally, if I'm writing for Rousey, I want to try to get her over on her own.
Yeah.
She's a product. You're paying a lot of money for her.
Yes.
It'd be nice to have her self-contained.
Yeah.
And she killed it at Mania, so it's like, let's keep riding this out. What are you saying?
Oh, I was going to say, I think with her, it's a tricky situation because it is like this star from another organization, from UFC is coming in, or MMA. They're coming in. We got to make them look like a badass, which they already are. They can do this for real, but they got to do it in our world. And part of their world is being entertaining on the mic. She doesn't really have that. I did think when I was there and I knew she was coming in that I thought she was going to be put with a Paul Heyman. Why wouldn't Paul Heyman scoop her up and make that his beast in the women's division? But like you said, like it's too obvious.
It also requires Heyman to work more, which I don't know if you know he wants to, you know.
I don't know. He was always a really nice guy, pleasant guy, and I think he's just down for the business. And if it means that he can help somebody out, he'll do it. I mean, it helps him out, too, money-wise. Go for it.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. I'm just cracking into a 1%er's whoop ass. Hold on. Oh, yeah, baby. Canada Dry LaCroix.
I was glad that didn't explode in your face. It was shaking up.
A lot of it on me.
I think down the road, if she gets a couple big wins under her, then I think they can start parading her around like that. I'm kind of unsure of what they'll do with her because they brought her in such a – how can you bring her in the way she's brought in and then not put a title on her immediately?
Yeah. I mean, we'll see if she wins the title. I think if she does win the title, someone will cash in immediately. Probably Natalya seems what they're setting up for.
Yeah.
If Natalya wins that briefcase early in the night, odds are she's going to cash in. They're going to set that up and then – have Rousey chasing it, and then we show how strong Rousey is because she was able to take down Nia Jax. And
yeah,
that seems to be something they're going for.
Yeah.
Let's focus on that a little bit next week because that's our go home. But like, I think we should focus on this commentary because I got so many messages on the commentary.
Yeah.
Now one person on the Facebook page for the morning said they mentioned her do nothing bitch promo.
Yeah.
And so she's had two promos I dug. One was leading up to Mania. She had a package.
Okay.
Where she was talking about, like...
Was it like one of those sit-down interviews?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's chopped. It's cut up, and its lines are fed to her. So it was good, but she talked about her marriage and her losing and, like, just being like, everything I done led me to this moment and all that, and I was I got into it. Everything she did leading up, you know, whatever. Okay. That's going to derail us too much. We already derailed enough. But, and then she had the UFC Do Nothing Bitch promo, which was the thing that everyone sent me when that happened. Even my wife was aware of it. That's when she was, like, talking about her body type.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she was like, my mom told me, like, they're, like, talking about your body, how she's muscular and, like, doesn't have, like, I don't know. Her body's great. I'm not sure what comment.
It's weird. And I feel like.
Because maybe her shoulders are broader. I don't really know. Like, she has an attractive body.
It's weird because she isn't like, she's.
Now I'm like, who was making any comment about her body?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense thinking about it. And I'm like, oh, maybe that's something. I could see them using that as an angle. And at this point, I wasn't really watching it. I just left. So I was like, oh, I'm not going to pay attention. But I feel like maybe that's something from the outside, from one of the writers or whatever. Or Vince's direction was like, oh, have this. And it's like, why would you need that?
But this was UFC.
Yeah.
So
this was
a UFC promo.
Oh, I'm thinking this is like, I was like,
was like, oh, like, I think it was maybe like an ad or I don't remember what it was for. But you can check it out. Check it out. And then she was just like, my mom said, I don't have a do nothing bitch body. Like, I do things. I work, like, I'm strong. I can, like, carry stuff.
Anyway,
but it was really cool because it had, like, the edge of just, like, it was, like, feminist.
Yeah.
You know what
it's
I mean?
Like, I don't give a shit.
And it was,
I'm
like,
here to beat ass.
That's what always got Ronda Rousey over, what everyone liked about her, is that she was unbeatable.
Yeah.
She was, like, a really powerful woman.
Yeah.
You know, physically powerful, dominating the business monetarily, also would, like, show her beauty. And it was like her version of beautiful. I don't know. I'm sure I'm saying this in a swampy way, because I'm, you know, because I don't know what I don't know what you could say anymore. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, don't say it.
But now it's like so now translate that to WWE, and now her role is celebrity.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I'm a celebrity, and her only thing is like, I'm gonna beat you. But she also came at it from a low status angle of like, I'm new here, and I'm like, right. So. I'm new here and I'm a beginner. I'm an amateur. But everyone likes me because I'm famous. It's completely not at all. It's completely the opposite of what made us like her in the first place.
And that's the thing. If she would have came in like a badass.
Right, what you're
came
saying.
Out, yeah, and like instead of doing that point at the end of Rumble, she just came out and messed up Asuka.
Right.
Like, holy shit. Like that would throw everybody off. Instead, she came out, she pointed, she smiled, and like, once I saw her smile, I knew it's like, okay, she's going to be a babyface because that's Vince's thing. Babyfaces need the smile. And I don't think it fits her well. If she, like you said, if she's just roughing people up, she's beating people up backstage before their matches. She's out of control. WWE can't control her. That's great.
Right.
But instead
it's... And it's like just being a celebrity or like just an athlete or whatever doesn't translate to pro wrestling. Pro wrestling is its own unique beast.
Yes.
Where it's like you need character, you know, and you need an angle. You need a gimmick. That's where the gimmick. Where, like, this is a bit of stand-up I'm working on that I'll give you some insight into, like wrestling stand-up. But it's I always warn people because I'm like, here's my bit, I won't even do it like in bit form, but
bit alert.
I'll explain the premise. But the idea is kind of like in sports, all you want is someone who's like classy, like brings it on the court, and then off the court is like full class. So it's like Michael, you know, Michael Jordan, or those like in interviews, you'd be like, oh, all right, like, you know, he would do he would just be like, yeah, you know, they were a great team. We were a good team, whatever. Yeah. Like, okay, my point is that Derek Jeter is like the consummate athlete. He's like the hero of baseball, right? And you're like, because he was like great at the game, right? But the star, if in pro wrestling, would be A-Rod. Like, A-Rod,
right? Yeah, yeah,
where,
yeah,
like, A-Rod is the pariah of baseball
because
he's got too much personality.
Yeah.
He's too three-dimensional for what people want in sports, right?
Yeah,
but
makes sense. Yeah.
In real life, I want A-Rod would literally every single year in the playoffs have a new blonde valet sitting in the stands, a big star. It'd be Kate Hudson, and then it'd be like J-Lo, or like Cameron Diaz, right? He would just switch out which A-list woman he was dating, and they'd be sitting there with their mom when he'd come up to the plate. He'd come up to the plate like the coolest rap song, and then he'd have pictures of himself in a magazine the next week, like kissing a mirror. That's what you want in wrestling.
You're right.
But in sports, people are like, this guy's, fuck
he's
this
too
guy.
Crazy.
He's too into himself. Yeah. Where like Jeter would just be like, yeah, he can work, but.
Yeah,
that would be Jeter.
Yeah,
and so that's what Ronda's falling into.
That's a good role,
she can work in the ring. She's an athlete,
but I do,
where's the rest?
I do.
And she's never been good at that. She has no real charisma.
No,
she's got no real personality, and it shows in this commentary.
Well, and that's like that's something I watched that match the other night, and I saw her commentary, and I was like, she has nothing. But also, I kind of. Being there.
By the way, I just brought up the Michael Jordan because I was like, I don't want to do the bit. I'll talk about something peripheral. And I was like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to the bit.
Just go.
It's Jeter and A-Rod. That's the bit.
But there's also, you made me think of Michael Jordan and Dennis Rodman. And Dennis Rodman literally went into wrestling because he is a character.
Yeah, you're right.
And then
right.
Think about it.
That's
he
better.
Faced Karl Malone.
Yeah.
And Karl Malone is like
the mailman?
Yeah. I mean, I guess you're
right. That's a terrible gimmick.
It is a terrible gimmick.
That's a jobber gimmick.
I'm here to deliver. Like, he's like boring as hell. Then you have Rodman who's like kicking photographers in the nutsacks and coloring his hair all different and wearing dresses.
Yeah.
That's a wrestler. You know, that's
A-Rod was a pro wrestler.
Entertainer. Yeah.
And none of you respected him.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude, he might have had whatever. All right, that might be.
Oh, but, all right. But like Ronda,
Jason might be racist. Let's keep going.
Ronda on the mic, though, what I felt from the other night is that they're trying to preserve that she comes from an MMA background.
Right.
And they're trying to show, oh, here's an athlete. That's what they're trying to do. They're not trying to turn her into a WWE superstar, which I think, to me, like, I always wanted something that had more insanity to it, more imagination than and this is along with your bit. Like,
yeah, guys,
sports,
check out my
sports
bit
are sports.
At Dan Black Attack on Instagram, at D Black Attack on Twitter. You can check out on our Twitter at COW podcast. And, you know, retweet my bit, support the bit. It's already got comments from professionals.
I'm
going to
keep bringing it up. This is a great bit. But he's right. And that's something.
It's funny to plug plug one social media post.
Yeah.
What a great post.
It's a good post, guys. That will explain everything you need to know about why Ronda Rousey isn't going to be exciting. She'll be exciting in the ring. She'll have some good matches. She'll do some arm bars. But, like, what else does she have after that? She's not going to talk shit.
Yes.
She's going to smile and show Natalya how to punch backstage. Because watching them do that backstage and Natalya punching, you can tell she's never really thrown a real punch.
No, yeah, absolutely. Let's hear. I got some actual Rousey clips.
Go for it. Yeah,
so we don't spend too much time on this. Right? Okay, this one I didn't understand at all.
Yeah, it was just like how I feel talking into a mic. Yeah.
She's like, there's a lot of first. There was like, was a lot of first. Yeah, well, you know, I've done a lot of first, and then so tread ground.
Yeah,
that's what I heard. That's what I heard.
I guess that's what she said. And I love like the big build up by Michael Cole, and then Yeah, you know, like nothing really.
Yeah, so that's my thing is that, first off, commentary is hard. Yes. Like, actually, I think people, you listen to this podcast, you take it for granted. Okay, what I do is actually very high level, but
no. It's good, you're good.
Yeah,
you're
yeah, good, yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to get close to the mic, kiss it, and just speak your mind. But I, no, but it's commentary is hard, right, especially if the question's coming at you, you don't have answers for. But I think it's a weird thing where they're scared, they're giving her some stock. Well, you might be able to speak this. She's saying some stock lines they're giving her, clearly.
Yeah.
And she's not able to couch them between, like, to make them feel natural.
Yeah.
So she's, like, so she's just either just, like, weirdly saying the line.
Yeah.
Right? And she's not able to be, like, really natural. Because I don't think her, she's really confused because she's like, what's my character's point of view? She's getting caught in kayfabe and, like, just being herself. And if you've heard her in real interviews before, like, I heard, she did an hour on Howard Stern, like, She's not very articulate. She doesn't have a lot to say. She doesn't really have a strong opinion on things.
Yeah.
You know?
She's just been fighting her whole life.
Right. She's just like, I fight, I try to win.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't have anything else besides that.
Yeah.
Like, it's very, not, I don't want to say primitive. That's her survival mechanism. I fight,
right.
I win. That's it.
Yeah.
But, like, other than that, yeah, like, she, what I saw when I was watching that was Vince is in her ear. He's in all their ears. I remember.
She has a headpiece in?
Yeah, I mean,
Rhonda does.
She had a headset on, from what I remember, and there was a point where she, before she said something, she looked up and out like she was listening to somebody.
Yeah,
and then I forget what she said, but I remember seeing that, thinking, "Oh, Vince is probably in her ear."
Oh.
Or maybe Vince.
Did you start looking towards where the voice is coming
from?
Yeah,
she's like,
that's
starting
a hilarious,
to look back
natural
towards.
Response.
She's looking back towards Gorilla. Oh wait, don't look! Look at the camera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's she seemed very uncomfortable, and that's something I noticed, and that's only from being there. Like, I remember watching Vince like hit a button and tell Cole to say, "Tell, you know, put over Braun Strowman how powerful he is." You
right.
Know, like he would. That's Vince talking.
Yeah.
He talks like this.
And I would say we used to do a show at UCB, like the UCBW show still goes on, where you'd have to be announced, whatever. The point, it's like, it was a comedy wrestling show, and I was already a pretty established improviser, and they asked me to do, like, the commentary, where I'd sit at a table and announce fake wrestling matches and, like, some comedy bits or whatever. And I remember sitting down and just being like, yeah, this should be easy, and being shocked how difficult it was to do. Doing commentary is a whole other muscle.
Dude, those guys, like, I worked
and she's learning so much. Yeah.
I worked with JR, I worked with King and Mauro down at NXT, and those guys do their work. Like, they dig into it. Cole's good at that, too. Cole's, like, really good at digging into his work, but I do remember specifically JR and Mauro are guys that, like, they, before the shows, they're just grinding, trying to think up every little thing they can bring up to add to that world, because they're part of painting the world, or the, you know, the wrestling universe the
right.
way it is.
Yeah, no, it's what they do is, you can't, you know, it's not easily replaceable. I mean, they got a bunch of announcers right now. I don't even like. I can't think of one thing Byron has said in the past
Dude,
like 5 years. You
yeah,
know what
same.
I mean?
And is Otunga on?
Yeah,
Raw
Otunga.
Now? They keep flipping through, and I know like Booker was
he
and
was
out.
On. He was on one of them this week.
I think
Raw. It was Smack. I think
was
it was
it
Raw.
Okay.
I think it was Raw.
Yeah.
No. It was Raw because Otunga was asking Rousey questions.
Yeah.
Here, let's hear another Rousey quote. Right.
Any added pressure on you, you think?
Yeah, but pressure is something that I'm used to. It brings out the best in me. Pressure is what builds up behind a bullet in the chamber of a gun.
Oh, look at this now.
Okay, so you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's a clear example of a line.
Yes.
She had a line that was like, pressure is what builds up behind the
bullet
of, a gun.
Of a gun.
First off, no one would ever say that naturally.
Yes.
It's a wrestling gimmick.
Yeah,
right?
100%.
That Sophie's sounded, laughing, I think, in the back.
That sounded like a line.
When she said it, I was like, that's a cool thing to say.
Yeah, right. But
that
I'm
no
saying,
one would ever say.
It's designed to be cool, but she didn't sell it.
No.
Right? She said it like, here's something I was told to say, because let's listen again.
It sounded like she was reading it.
She shoehorned it in, and then she didn't say anything after it.
No.
Where you have to be like, it's a metaphor that you use to explain something. You don't just go, pressure is with, like, it was just a random fact she stated. It was like, say a random fact.
She didn't pay off the gun metaphor.
In the chamber of a gun. It was like, it would be like, hey, Rhonda, say a random fact.
Is what builds up behind a bullet in the chamber of a gun.
Look at this now.
Oh, man. I queued it up wrong. All right, I'm trying this again. Okay, here we go. Tell me, okay, hey Rhonda, Rhonda, tell me a random fact about pressure.
Pressure is what builds up behind a bullet in the chamber of a gun.
Oh, okay. Thank you. You had that on cue. That was amazing.
Wow, physicist here explaining yeah. how a gun works.
It's incredible. Incredible. That's going to kill when I have the botched version of it right before that. I killed it. Yeah, but I'm saying like that, right? That's weird. So you go pressures, yeah. and then you'd be like, and I'm a gun?
Yeah.
Like, where is it? What is the point of that, right?
I don't know. And
Sophie, make that work.
I was going to ask Matt.
Yeah.
He's the one that would know. He's the writer here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, I don't know. What is
well, that's the thing. Like, that's
and I'm the gun.
That's what I said. There was no payoff to it. It was just like, and? Okay, and then like Michael Cole probably just went back to the match. Was like, Natty's knee's hurt or whatever happened that night.
You guys ready for the next one?
Yeah.
All right, this one I'm going to make work.
Matches, you know, like people won't always do the same thing, but they'll always be themselves.
Oh, drop kick from Natalya. Rhonda, I was talking to Nia earlier today, and she said, well, there's not exactly a lot of footage of you Ooh. Inside a WWE ring. She's been watching, and you've been progressing. But Nia said,
oh, wait, I think that was just the personality part because she's like, right. I look for personality in the ring.
I look for personality in the ring.
I like that personality because I'm looking for one.
Yeah, I'm looking to
yeah. adopt one.
Exactly. Yeah, like That's the thing, too. It's like they slapped on the Rowdy Rowdy Piper.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no.
All right, wait, what?
Oh, I was saying, like, when she first came out, they slapped the whole Rowdy Rowdy Piper thing on her. And that Rowdy was, like, my guy.
Rowdy
was my guy. And to see that she got that, I was like, oh, cool. And then they gave her Joan Jett. I'm like, they're trying to... She has nothing, so they're trying to pile that on to make
yeah.
it seem
well,
cool.
Yeah, well, that's her song she used to enter it for MMA.
I was about to say...
It's the Freaks and Geeks theme song. What?
I was about to say she reminds me of, like, the Kristen Stewart... Is Kristen Stewart the person I'm thinking of? Yeah, Kristen Stewart.
From, I was going to call it Sparkle, but I think it's called Twilight. Yeah. Is that what you're talking about? From Sparkle. Yeah. You guys know that vampire series?
I love Sparkle.
Wait, what
no,
were you
but
saying?
Just... Well, just, like very, like... Like, great actress, really good at the craft, but watching her speak in an interview makes me want to, like, go to sleep.
No, she's annoying. She grew up in the biz. Her parents were, like, in the biz.
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it. You got to watch out for those. As a guy who lives in L.A., you got to watch. Everyone goes, like, hey, my dad did this. My dad's like, yeah, it's nice to meet you.
Oh,
I got to
cool,
go.
Great.
You got to go.
I got to run away.
Got to go.
Yeah. I remember back, it was, like, last summer down at NXT, Shayna Baszler had just started. It was during the, I did the, What was it? The women's... What was the women's tournament I worked? Mae Young Classic.
The Mae Young Classic.
Yeah, so I was there for the whole thing.
What was the men's tournament called?
The Cruiserweight Classic. All
right, I just want to see how fast you were able to pick that. I was trying to figure out if you're a feminist or not.
No.
Turns out you are.
Yeah.
It turns out
well,
that
they said... It was like me and Maz and... who else was down there with us? Oh, this other guy who's... Oh, no, it was Maz and I doing most of the Mae Young Classic, sitting in a room with all those ladies and, like, helping them with their...
Matt Mazzani, friend of the show.
Yeah, Matt Mazzani. Hey, Matt. But he, from what I remember, I think it was that Shayna, they brought Shayna in, and then they had the whole four horsewomen thing. And then we had to shoot a backstage where the four horsewomen from the MMA confronted the four horsewomen from the WWE.
Yeah.
And I remember shooting it, and we had to redo it like three or four times because it was like, hey, guys, line up this way. And like getting those girls used to like the thing we do in the WWE. I don't know if this ever came out, but it was like it was like the first time those...
I've seen
mat.
A picture of it before,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure that got out, but I remember,
that's
like...
That thing is too insider for even
dude,
me, like...
That was, like... I remember that happening, and I was like, oh, okay, I see where this is going.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this
it's
is
like, let's
last
try to
summer.
Just make Sasha Banks on her own work.
Yeah.
Like, let alone, like, celebrating your posse of, like, mediocrity.
Yeah.
Like, anyway, whatever.
Yeah,
I mean,
why
it's fucked up. I mean, some of them are good, but I'm like... I don't know. Sasha Banks rubbed me the wrong way.
To me, was always great backstage or whatever, but I think Vince had a thing, like, he didn't like how she would talk. Like, she had, I don't know.
I don't like how she talks either. I'm like, I feel like she should be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, ready for another Rousey? This is the kicker, I think, this one. Ready?
Exactly a lot of footage of you Ooh. Inside a WWE ring. She's been watching and you've been progressing. But Nia said she challenged you to this matchup because you are, quote, ripe for the picking. She wants to take you out now and make her name at your expense while she still can.
Well, ripe for the picking is something only my husband calls me.
We'll get to that in one moment as this matchup continues live on Raw.
Then they go to break.
And we're back live
they
on
come
Monday
back.
Night Raw. The Raw Women's Champion Nia Jax in control of Natalya, their first meeting ever. Meanwhile, Natalya's friend, Ronda Rousey, who faces Nia Jax in 2 weeks at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view event, looking on here at our announce booth. When Ronda, I had mentioned to you earlier Nia's comments about how you're, quote, ripe for the picking. She wants to make her name at your expense before you improve too greatly within a WWE ring. What are your thoughts on that?
I think only my husband could call me ripe for the picking.
I know it was a long clip, dude, but she said it again.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't catch that when I watched it on Monday.
Yeah.
But that's insane.
Oh, so
she had that ready to go. That was loaded in the gun.
Yeah. All right, Sophie, what do you want to say?
We
need some female perspective here.
Yeah, please, yeah.
Do you like someone being like, my husband calls me ripe for the picking? How do you feel about that?
That feels so weird.
I don't know. It even feels weird to like kind of attack a woman for the way she talks. It's a little bit like, but she's a boring speaker.
Oh, you mean that we're being swampy? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we're being jerks.
But like, no, I just feel like.
I think we're worse to the guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll shit on the guys. But yeah, I mean, that. What a weird thing to have her say, because it does sound very stock. Maybe she thought that up and was like, oh, I can say this. Like, I could see her. Here's what I think happened.
I don't even get it.
What
is that? Like,
what does it mean my husband calls me ripe for the picking?
Is it like, oh.
She's ready for the harvest.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's what that sounds like
that
to me.
That sounds like it was like he was waiting for me to be 18. Yeah. It sounds like my husband's been watching me since I was 12. Yeah. he would look me through the middle school window in his Trans Am. And then when I was ripe for the picking, he was the only one allowed to call me that.
Oh my God.
That question would be like,
Feel like that day when they had that match set. So it was Nia versus Natalya. They're setting up for Nia to face Ronda at Money in the Bank. And they're like, during the production meeting, they're like, all right, we got this match. And then I could see Arn Anderson raising a hand and be like, boss, how about we put Ronda on, we put her on the cans at ringside. And then it's like, okay, yeah, let's do that. We got to promote her some way. But then, like, she can't talk. So then WWE's thing is like, they want to protect They're workers. They want to protect Ronda. They want to show that she's awesome. But don't put her on headset if she can't talk. But they did that.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, she had a couple lines here. There were two lines here quick, just in her defense, that I thought were pretty good. But she's just boring. Like Sophie was saying. Like,
yeah.
She's just boring. But these are, like, decent. These are decent lines.
Yourself for something unfamiliar to you. In MMA, headbutts like that are illegal.
I don't know. I just have to be ready. You know, I can't really get headbutt all day to get used to it.
And Natalya.
See, I actually like that response, even though it's like kind of sloppy.
Yeah.
Because she's like, yeah, well, look, I'm not gonna get headbutt all day. I just gotta like be ready. It's a natural response to like. That's like an actual training question.
Yeah.
Like, all right, well, how do you prepare for a headbutt? And he's like, you don't prepare for a headbutt. Like, that's cool. Obviously, she could have said it with better.
Yeah.
Hopefully, she will get more fluid and more confident to just respond without being, you know,
and that's part
the jumble.
Of it, too. I assume she's a huge investment. They're putting her on the show.
Yeah.
They want her to get reps behind the mic.
Well, she killed it at Mania.
Yeah.
Like, we gotta remember, like, I said she's gonna work just to couch all the, like, it's gonna work.
Yeah.
So I'm saying this will work.
Yeah.
Here's another, I actually think this is decent, even though it's weird. It's like, but it is fine response.
That's definitely true, but I come from judo, and the principle is maximum efficiency, minimum effort. It's using your opponent's strength and momentum against them, and she gives me a lot to use against her.
To your point about judo, we saw Natalya attempt a judo throw, a hip toss earlier in the match to absolutely no success against Nia Jax.
Ooh.
What's going to make anything different when you do it?
Two Olympics, man.
And here comes Natalya.
Yeah, like two Olympics.
Two Olympics.
Fine. That's fine. She just doesn't sell it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like two, you know,
two
Olympics.
Two
how do it.
Olympics.
I'll do Yeah. Hey,
so how do you sell or what was this question? I can't
just
remember.
Answer. Well,
how is it going to be different?
Make
when
up
you
the question. Yeah. Sophie, you ask me the question.
Yeah, you do it.
Okay, so how is this going to be any different when you do it?
Sophie, I'm glad you asked that. Two Olympics. I got a couple. There's a couple ways to do it. All right, ask Matt.
So Matt, how is this going to be any different when you try and do it?
Really? Two Olympics.
I got two words for you. Two Olympics. Two Olympics? Two Olympics. Two Olympics.
Two Olympics.
Two Olympics. Two Olympics. Two Olympics.
It feels like it feels like you would like pan straight to camera, like you would just like face the camera. And, like,
you look right into the camera.
Yeah.
They slowly zoom in.
Yeah,
two
exactly.
Olympics. And then the crowd goes nuts.
Well, you do it like kind of like, are you kidding me? Like, you know, I am Queens Boulevard. You know the Entourage? You kidding me? I am two Olympics. All right, Entourage, still topical for me. That's what happens when you're a douche and look like this. Okay, we got, man, we blew through all our time not talking about any of stuff that went out. So I'm just going to... All right, I'm going to play another cash in, and then I'm going to blow through a bunch of stuff. Okay? Sophie, you're right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
All right, cool. All right, here we go. Ready for a cash in? I don't know what this is about because I don't have any explanation here. The only thing in the description of this is, says, yeah, man, from Joshua Huff. Okay.
Huff Nation cashing in on the podcast. This was Nick Tulo's idea. Nick Tulo had this idea, I repeat myself. Here we go now.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Josh Huff of H-U-F-F, H-U-F-F. So nice you gotta spell it out twice. Huff Nation cashing in an auto-tune Nick Tulo's idea. I'm giving a Huff take on two things. One, Dominions this weekend. Woo! I'm excited for some wrestling in Japan. It'll be much better than WWE's product right now. That's my Huff take. They need to have an off season because Raw is substantially bad. SmackDown is so much better in terms of roster, but I kind of found myself a little bit bored with this SmackDown as well. Summer is just a terrible time for wrestling. I think you need to put it on hiatus around for about 2 months. You can push the XFL at that point because that's when the season will be starting.
I always wonder what auditions sound like, man. When you just talk.
Push NXT. I don't care. Just I need an off season. Other than that, stay good. Huff Nation's out.
I like it. All right, auto tune cash in. I like that.
That was a lot of fun. Cool. I really like that, Josh. That was great.
Yeah, we should have an off season. I think I agree with everything you said there. So we'll move on for time. But yeah, good stuff. Actually, let's just play another cash in, okay? Because I think this one's gonna be. I feel it's gonna be about Rousey. Oh no. This is John Silver. We already heard from him. Long John Silver. I think we'll call himself. Let's see. We got this one. All right, let's play this last cash in. There might be another one, guys. I'm off the grid in New York.
Hey, Jabroniacs, it is Adam Joel, baby. I'm going to call in, give my quick little bit about what I think is wrong with the Ronda Rousey. I did that last time I called in, too. Stumbling over. Anyway, Ronda Rousey, why it falls flat is the whole reason she has any credibility in the sports world is because she's a really good real-world fighter, like one of the best. But this isn't the real world. You can't, it doesn't work for me if you tell me that Ronda Rousey should be feared because she's a good real fighter, because you can't see my eye, but I'm winking. They're all good fighters. You know what I mean? So to me, if she's not good on the mic or really that good in the ring yet, besides the one match at WrestleMania, that means that she's just not that good because she's got a clean slate when she comes in the door from, this time I'm doing finger quotations, real fighting. So that's my problem. With that being said, Nia Jax, I think, did a really good promo on Monday. The whole thing with that, I don't know which jabroni lady is, Jabronita? Not sure. But anyway, the lady jabroni that she was wrestling and doing that little stuff on, the nice little bit, and then when she was taunting her in the ring for giving the mean face, I thought that was really effective for Nia. But overall, that's why I think all the Ronda Rousey stuff falls flat. You can't be up there because you're a good real-world fighter, because they're all good real-world fighters. I'm just not raising my eyebrows. All right. Love the show. Goodbye.
All right, thanks for cashing in, Gabawi. Let's remember these cash-ins. Try to keep them in a minute. You'll find that most points you have can be done in a minute and done properly. So, but yeah, cool. Good points. I think that's we covered all that stuff.
Yeah,
but yeah,
keep it tight.
But this Rousey thing was the main thing this week. All right, let's blow through the rest of stuff. I mean, look, we're in this in between time. It's not like really that much to cover. There's some cool matches we got to see. You know, Finn. Who did we see? Finn Owens.
Yeah.
We saw that. Like, that was cool.
What did you think of that Braun Bobby Roode match?
I thought it was fine. I mean, what?
I like that little spot where
he broke
Bobby
the ladder.
Yeah, I was like, okay, cool. Like Bobby, come. Like, It made no sense to me that we brought him up and made him a baby face, but that's what Vince saw him as.
Were you there when that happened?
Yes.
Yeah, it felt weird, right?
Yeah, because like I had worked with him at NXT. Like I did some of his last promos at NXT, and then he came up and was immediately baby face because Vince was like, he has a robe and he is glorious.
Yeah.
How's that not a baby face? And it's like, well, you got to see him work and do a promo. And then the stuff he's been doing, it's baby face promos, but all he just says is glorious, and that's it.
Yeah, I think he'll be one of those guys just like Shinsuke right now where it's like the second you turn him heel, he'll fall, like he'll snap into place.
100%.
Because right now he's just not a face. Like, he's just not a face. He's a guy, you know, a guy, he's got a heel look.
Yeah.
He's got a heel attitude, and the crowds, he doesn't have that, you know, some people don't have a face likability. He just, you know, So I think the blows my mind is when Strowman broke that ladder. I think it's amazing that like there's an infinite well of things they can do with Strowman. It feels like, right? Like, like he flipped this and he flipped an ambulance.
I was there for that. That was fun. And that's the thing. Like every
day, how do they do that? Do you know how they do that?
Yeah.
Can you spoil that or no? You don't have to. You don't have to.
I mean,
they have it from every angle.
I'll just say it's there's a hydraulic arm, and then also there were studs, which I think if you watch it back, you can see the studs. They were on the wheels, so he could push it over. Like, I remember that was in Long Island, actually.
Listen, Long Island guys are trying to flip cars all the time. That's part of what we do.
They just brought some like locals in, like, help us flip this car. The strong man needs to flip a car.
I know guys in Long Island who think they can flip a car. Okay, I sent that clip. That clip I sent to Gabrus immediately. That goes to all Long Island guys.
Yeah, man. I mean, like that stuff. And that was the same one where Roman was on the stretcher, right?
Yeah.
And then I think we cut, and they put a dummy, and then, like,
pushed him off of the gurney, off of the loading dock, and then he loaded him into the ambulance, and then he crashed a truck into the ambulance. Yeah, Sophie, are you hearing this?
What?
Dude, the best one,
wrestling
though,
is so good.
It is so good. My favorite one, though, out of that whole, like, Braun destruction path was when he pulled down that scaffolding or whatever with the grappling hook.
Grappling hook was bad.
Yeah,
I hate it when people are like, "Why is there a grappling hook?" I was like, "What a dumb complaint."
Yeah.
Well, first off, they have infinite tools backstage.
Yeah.
You can't imagine they need a grappling hook for something there. They got a fucking $5 million setup.
Yeah.
You know,
it's insane.
Yeah, yeah. They got a grappling hook. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Some of the crew guys, they're gonna go spelunking later.
Absolutely.
So they got their.
Spelunking is the same shit. It's just like going under these arenas or like. Coming down from the rafters. I mean, right? These arenas are man-made spelunk zones.
Yeah, that was that. The grappling hook was the same thing Sting used back in the 90s to propel down to the ring.
That's left over from Sean coming down for the Iron Man match. Yeah. So hydraulic. I imagine that would be my guess on how they did it. It's just cool because there's no. I thought they would have something pulling it from the back, just like because that would be the cheapest way to do it. But like then they would post every angle in social media.
Yeah, I remember. Because I remember that took a while to shoot, and like shots like that, Vince was there. Like,
right.
Vince usually on those backstages, he's not there. You just have to get them approved by like the head writer or whatever, and then Vince sees him and either yells at you or he doesn't. And then with that, he's there. There was another one like that where I think Braun threw like Kalisto or somebody into a garbage can.
Yeah, yeah, Kalisto.
And I was backstage.
For no reason.
So I was in the shot.
This is the best.
And I had to go like, no, bro, no. Like,
oh, you're in the shot?
I mean, I'm in a lot of those shots where I'm like, oh, no. And I remember Vince is like yelling at everyone to get in certain spots. And he was like, Braun was like his prized possession. He was like, oh, I'm going to make him look great. I need to direct this. None of you writers get it.
Yeah.
You fucking idiots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like that's. Anything that happens with Braun, I'm assuming Vince is probably there.
Because he thinks all you guys are like dumb smart marks.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like he thinks everyone except for him sees it. Like, who knows? It's like, it's still the 80s, baby.
Yeah.
And then he's kind of right all the time. Like, Mania proved him right. That's what my big point after Mania was. Like, I was like, the AJ Shinsuke match was dead. People don't want a work rate match at Mania. They want stunts.
Yeah.
They want Rousey wrestling. Like, they want the stunts. Yeah. And
they want spectacle.
The only kind of matches that will work is this is kind of like goes all the way to the contradicting what I'm saying is like they would go nuts for like an Osprey Ricochet match, like something like that. That's like full because it's
crazy
also a stunt
spots,
in a way that's it's a stunt, it's stunts, anything stunt related they like. And that's kind of where they were smart about the low blow at the end of the AJ Shinsuke match, where they were ahead of us being like, look, this match might not kill the way you want it to in a 7-hour show.
Well, that was like the one match I was like.
Should have opened the show, probably.
It should have. Yeah. I'm surprised
just for a belt. That's why it's weird.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't organize that a little differently. I mean, it's also a 6-hour show, and then whatever's on the kickoff.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to blow through some talking points. You ready? All right. Notice this. Jinder always has a cut on his nose. So you're just, you guys, check that out. That's the kind of minutia we cover here. Here's some more minutia. Roman Reigns looks incredible with a beard and terrible with a goatee. This week he has a beard and he looks awesome. All right? Guy's a stud. Whether you like him or not, the guy's a stud. This shirt is better than the other shirt, whether you like it or not. Baron Corbin being the constable of Raw, absolutely love this. Dude, I think this is great. The only thing about this is an example of the stuff we don't like about wrestling. What frustrates us as fans is that lazy rollout. I mean, this might have been thought of 10 minutes before they went on TV from Matt here. Like, he's had no interaction at all with Stephanie and Vince. It's like, and Triple H. So it's like, why would Baron Corbin, at this point a jobber, have any kind of claim to the McMahons? You know, like, let's see them talk at all. Like, Angle's just like just accepting
his
words.
Build it a little more.
Right, yeah.
And that's the thing.
Wouldn't he question this at all?
No, and that seems like a day of pitch. Or maybe, you know, I could see Vince is like, what are we doing with Corbin? And they were just how about this? He's a constable. Oh, I like constables, yes. Or like, you know,
a Corbin constable, I think, is great. Yeah. Like, it's great for him. I would love if he has. People were making online on social media putting like monocles on him and stuff. And, like, I think that's great. Give Corbin some kind of like constable jacket or something. I don't know. Whatever.
I love that.
It's a cool spot for him. Corbin is a unique talent. I actually see some potential in him for the right role. He's not like a big heavyweight guy
he's
for
a
me,
good
but
classic
I mean, he is a heavyweight.
Heel. To me, he's a good classic heel, and like he. He's a dude that, like, backstage, he's, like, he's working his ass off. He's doing his thing. And I remember one time he yelled at me because he just took a chair shot at the end of SmackDown, and I had to run him the talking smack.
Right.
And I was like, yo, you got to go or you're the first guy up. Damn it. Can't I just – I just took a chair to the back. Can I chill out? I'm like, yeah, you're good. Like, you're 6'10". Don't yell at me and kill me. And, like, he – You know, like,
wow.
Yeah, he was.
He's like kind of an asshole, right?
He was cool with me.
Oh, he's cool, really?
It, to me, he was. And then I do remember.
That's funny. I've heard he's kind of a jerk.
Which I
always like because his characters.
One of the funniest things about him, and I heard this through KO, was he was the Money in the Bank guy for a while.
Yeah.
He would carry around. So he's a watch collector.
Right.
He would carry around like Watch Collector magazine and the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Really?
Yeah. And like KO, I guess, like saw him on the plane open.
The
it
Watch
up.
Collector is the most heel thing you could be to me.
The Watch Collector.
And the bad like, guy. He's just like, I love watches. He wins a match. He goes, I'm going to buy a watch. Yeah.
Take me to the Fifth Avenue to get the most expensive watch.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know what time it is? I don't care because I'm going to get a watch to know.
what time zone are we? Is like an armful of watches.
Love it.
Go ahead. Yeah, go
blowing
ahead.
Through already. Well, he should. I would love if Corbin starts being the constable and he, like he talks about his paycheck going up and starts investing in watches and like he has like diamond studded bullshit.
Oh, he
like,
gets his own. He gets his own office. That's
yeah.
Just
what would a guy who was? What would that character do with money? Is a really cool angle, right? Like that's a cool like. You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
what
yeah,
would
yeah.
he spend his money on?
It's evil things like metal, like just like some sort of metal backdrop for his office. That has like a. He won some medal award while I was there.
Yeah, I know. Sure. I saw that. All right, Curt Hawkins, 200 losses. He's on a 200 match losing streak right now, which is very funny.
Yeah.
And then Corbin beat Corbin. The Constable Corbin came in, threw some tacos all over him. This is real.
Oh, yeah, what
Sophie.
Was that taco thing about? I saw that, but I didn't understand.
Because he was going to have a taco party. I don't know why. Because it was if I don't lose, and then, yeah. And then the B team wins a title shot. Curt Hawkins probably will join the B team, the best team.
Yeah.
Probably, right? It seems like they're both having celebrations. I didn't look. Owens was, like, scared on the ladder during that Finn's Owen. He was scared to jump off. That feels like out of character for me for
it
Owens.
Does.
I know he's kind of a heel and chicken shit heel
he's
now.
To be a chicken
but
shit heel,
but
yeah.
I think his thing is that he goes balls out. Like, that's one of my things I love about Owens, is that he is kind of like.
Well, remember, he was like, the prize fighter, Michael. And, like,
right.
you know, he came out and just wanted to fight. And now it's like you said, they've pulled him back a little bit where he's like, he's going to puss out when he's on top of the ladder instead of just, like, go for it.
I don't want him to puss out.
Yeah, I want him to be a wrecking ball like he was before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a minor thing, but, like, I want him to, like, want to kill people, yeah. even though he's funny. Like, he sees an opportunity, so yeah. that's a small thing. All right, cool. Now, okay, we're going to cover two more things and then blow through a couple minor things, all right? You good, Sophie? Okay, all right. All right.
5 minutes, yeah.
5 minutes? All right, I got 5 minutes. Okay. All right, so, oh, man. No one cares about this Sami Zayn, Bobby Lashley stuff. No
Dude,
one cares.
I love Sami, though. I love when he gets to be a joke, like a Joker type character. Like he's wild, but who knows with Bobby Lashley and whatever, wherever they're going with this.
Zayn is doing great work. It's just like, I think one thing he's doing wrong is that, like, he's staying in the joke mode the whole time.
Yes.
Like, he needs to at some point start, like, cutting throat, just be like, you're corny and it makes me sick you're here.
Yeah.
Your Instagram is corny. Like, you don't belong in WWE. You're getting paid more than me. Like, something is just like, and it makes me sick. Like, he needs something that's just like, here's why I hate you, as opposed to, I just make fun of you just to, like, make fun of you.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little too, like, it doesn't build the feud. Right now, it's like, you're just annoying me. Because you're going to get nothing from Lashley, so you really need that. I love the, like, were you even in the army? I think that was great. It was just, this segment was a little anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Graves summed it up amazingly. He goes, your Instagram is incredibly basic. He goes, yeah, well, look, even the Lashley's Instagram is incredibly basic. That was the line I think we needed from Zayn that I don't remember hearing, but I literally spit laughing when he said that. To call Lashley a jacked up guy's Instagram basic. any thoughts on that? I mean, you don't have to say anything. It's for time, we don't need it, but I want to make sure you hear stuff.
I don't know, dude. Yeah, Bobby was boring to me back then, and
yeah, I know. SmackDown. I like Charlotte keeps losing because she's making mistakes. I think that's cool. Like,
that's
she keeps losing after she does a back the moonsault.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, she could probably beat these people if she would, like, stop showing off. I like that she's getting in her own head.
Yeah.
There's some cool storytelling going with Charlotte.
Exactly, yeah.
And let's get Becky over. I don't like that Becky is holding her stockings. It looks dumb to me. It looks like they just broke. It doesn't look stylized. The Carmella unmasking thing was, like, 2-1 note. Carl Anderson beat Luke Harper. That was surprising. Okay, here's the last thing I want to cover. I really like this contract signing with Shinsuke.
Yeah.
I thought that was really great.
Yeah. I think they figured out
it's a backstage contract signing, which was interesting.
Give I think up. It's better to have Nakamura in a backstage like that. Have him. He's trying. I always remember saying it as, like, he's a trickster spirit where you never know what you're gonna get. He's constantly messing with you, and I feel like his facial expressions really show that. And he did that well this past Tuesday.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think I liked AJ. I think Shinsuke is, like, as a heel, he's amazing at it. It's clearly what he belongs being. He is, like, the Joker.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, the Joker,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Right? He's just fucking with him. I'm going to get in your head, and you're going to – and, like, AJ's getting – he's boiling with frustration. And what Shinsuke's doing is working to the point that AJ slapped him, right? Which, like, he's the good guy. He slapped him, and I'm just like – you're annoying me so much.
Yeah, he pushed the baby face so far to do that.
Right.
And, like, a baby face
wouldn't just
isn't
hit a guy
supposed
unprompted.
To do that. Yeah, baby face never backs down from a fight, but they won't throw a punch. Or they won't slap somebody.
Yeah.
And he did.
And his acting was so good with he was yawning during what AJ said. He's flipping the pen around. It was great. But he had a pen the whole time. I wished it was a feather pen.
Yeah.
You know, would have been amazing. I think you can go as weird as you want with Shinsuke.
You should.
It won't hurt him at all. Because he can be super weird. He can be super ominous. But when he's in the ring, he's a precise, dirty striker. Like, he's a real threat.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing as, like, Joker, where it's like, he's wearing face paint. But then... Right, he's like a goof, but you know he's a real threat. Also, he's actually crazier than you.
He might seem like he's like this like clown or whatever, but his knee will kill you. It'll break your face.
And I think Shinsuke should win the belt. I think he's just doing great work.
I agree.
I think it's awesome. All right, that's the last thing. We're done, Matt. Anything else you wanted to say that I didn't let you say that you've been bubbling up?
I was going to say this at the beginning. The Laredo thing. I passed Vince McMahon at 4 a.m. walking to my hotel. Four in the morning.
Yeah.
He's wearing gyms. He's wearing all sweats.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, oh, have a good night, sir. Good night. No, we got to go train. Let's go train. And I was like, oh yeah, I'll be. And I, I like ran into my room, just locked the door, and I was like,
"Wow, do you think he was like, maybe that's why they let you go?"
Yeah,
they were like, "He doesn't train.
He doesn't train.
This guy doesn't train.
He's not working out. Look at him. He's just a
this guy doesn't understand the pressure in the back of a bullet of a gun. Yeah. whatever the fuck that line was.
I just like the sleep, Vince. I like that. I know you didn't because I saw the energy drinks you drank and you slept. So
I'm so jealous of that. I pushed myself, like this week I pushed myself. I was not sleeping, but I was like, I'm going to like an 8 a.m. workout class. I went, and then I get sick. Yeah. Like if I push myself too hard, I get sick.
Yeah.
I was sick at Mania because before my flight to Mania, I took a 7 a.m. workout class. I was like, I'm going to class because like I know I won't work out the whole weekend, and then I was sick at Mania. Like I cannot push myself or else I die. Like I die. Anyway, he Matt. Dude, thanks so much for coming in. If you're in LA, in Los Angeles, let me know. You know, you pop back in the pod, and I'll let you know when I'm back in town. But, like, that was awesome stories.
Cool. I have many more, but thank you for having me on.
Well, we got to do a bonus episode with you where we don't cover the week in wrestling at all. We'll just talk about, like, whatever you want to talk about.
Anytime, dude.
Anything you want to plug?
I guess... If anything, now that I'm not doing the wrestling thing anymore, check out joeyblast.com. It's a pilot I made and created with a friend. We just got it into a festival. I'm trying to promote that a little bit, joeyblast.com.
Oh, awesome. Check it out, joeyblast.com. Sweet. Hey, everybody, remember, if you dug the show, you dig what we're doing, check us out on patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. We got bonus episodes up there. I've told you that. Check out my awesome social media post today at Dan Black Attack on Instagram and at D Black Attack on Twitter. I'm working on fixing that. You can follow us on Instagram at COW Podcast and whatever. Twitter. You'll find us. Find our socials. You got it. Cool. All right. Hey, Sophie, thanks again. Yes. Hope you had a great masturbation session.
Thank you, Sophie.
Just finished.
Oh, wow.
Jacking it to that ricochet flip.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Ricochet.
Absolutely. Hey, everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.